Good meal of Fáilte Romhaibh. My name is Tommy Moran. I'm delighted to be back here with Leitrim Daily. And I have a very special guest today. This is Sean O'Sullivan from Ballinamore, a man that's known throughout the county. And as a Stoka Gore, George May, Sir Kuplahur, Gore Shin, and Far is Far in Leitrim. Sean Sullivan, you're very, very welcome. You're probably best known within the county from your work in the county library, from which you have retired, and I must compliment you on the marvellous job you did there, you and your staff. So, how was retirement going?
Just as I tell you, the many day I'd go back to work, I wouldn't have as much to do.
I know the feeling, yeah.
Well, it's things I was in anyway, but whatever it is about it, you know, the more time you have, the more you get stuck into different things.
So. Yeah. Very often, you know, when people come to work in Leitrim, you know, in a job like a librarian or some job in the department, or you know, you stay for a few years and then they leave to go off somewhere else. You're quite happy in Leitrim, you're glad you came to Leitrim.
Ah, yeah. Well, you see, like a lot of people, I was in Dublin for about 10 and a half years. I'm from Longford, not very far away, Nature on the wing. But like a lot of people, I suppose when you go to City or you go to England, you go to Dublin, most people hanker to kind of get back to someplace like where they were in before,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Now others don't, others are fierce happy in the cities, but that was the way with me. Once I was in it down in Ballinamore, I never wanted to move out of it, you know.
Oh, that's great.
The things that you'd be interested in, say the GA and all these sort of things, it makes the life blood of a place like Ballinamore and various other things, the RAM and so on, you know.
Right, well that's true. So it was fortunate for you that you came to Leitrim, and very fortunate for Leitrim that you did come, and your wife Breach, and then your two sons now, Rory and Cormac. You know, the four of you have played a tremendous part in the community in Ballinamore. Talk to you, Gomai Egan Gaelga. You run English or Gaelga lessons in the winter time, which was interrupted last year, of course, on account of the COVID. Mm-hmm. How did you think they were progressing?
You see, Tán Spéisiúil Gum Sa Bhaile was with Riamh, and we started them out, you know, what it is now, maybe 15 or more years ago, and
right.
Huge interest in them. Now we get help from a lot of people, who like yourself, who help, you know, who have the bit of Gaelga, and the crowds that come were exceptional now. We were really talking about every winter about 60 people would come.
Yeah, that's once a week.
Once a week. And they'd have them split up into various groups and chatting and talking. We missed out on this year, you see, because you couldn't run it. But hopefully now, and playing Chacoan, Lacoan O'Jay after Christmas, we started again. There's great interest in it, and that and more.
Right, and there was a great mixture of young people and older people and people who had forgotten all the Irish, and you know,
that's right.
It went very well. I was very impressed with it. I thought it did great. Mm. You're involved, of course, in the GAA, have been your several positions in the GAA and the club, and you're president of the Ballinamore Club at the moment. Uchtaran, and then you've been involved with the county board for numerous years, and everybody would be well used to hearing you announce the teams in Carrick and Shannon and Park McJerrida. And of course, I remember the famous day that something happened. There was a hitch with the public address. Rod Nevean wasn't coming forth, so you sang it yourself.
Well, I was stuck. it was a Nicky Dill Ireland Junior Club semi final around the winter time. And the bloody thing started. Whatever word it was, actually, I've gone two lines. But I tell you, if you asked me to go up and sing it, I wouldn't, because I'd choke. I wouldn't have the confidence, or I'd just get stuck. Not with the words, but I get stuck with the breathing. But spontaneously, kind of, it's like with somebody drowning, you jump in after them.
I know,
you
what know,
mean,
so
yeah.
So, Ron Levine was drowning, and so, you saved it.
So, yeah, that's right. For me in Ballinamore and Leitrim, I suppose things like score and hurling, they were the things I was in particularly, you know.
Right, yeah.
That score, especially in Ballinamore, became very prominent in it over the years.
Sean and myself have been in numerous novelty acts, and we've
right.
A few All Irelands, you know. One thing that people probably wouldn't associate with Sean is that he's a great comedy actor, marvellous comedy actor. And you did the stage show, The Luthermans, as a fundraiser for the park.
Yeah, we did that show. We did a kind of a 2-hour show. It grew out of the score, really,
right.
Because with the sketches, 10-minute sketches, and put a lot of them together there. I suppose it's 10 years ago now or that, but It went on fierce well, all right.
It did, actually. Yeah. It just showed that people have a love for, you know, live entertainment.
That's right.
You know, and so the hall was booked out, which was most unusual, you know, for a series of short sketches and that.
That's right. Well, the score like took a great swing for a long period of years, you know. Mm-hmm. But Nomadic was the thing that around Ballymore.
Oh, yeah, of course.
We're not good at dancing or singing or music, but the novelty act was started with yourself at one in 1984.
84, that's right.
One in Ireland, that's right, down that's right, in the National Stadium.
National Stadium, we were on big stages.
That's right.
And we were down in where the Eurovision had been held in Mill Street.
Mill Street, that's right. And then the Legion in Killarney. Just there used to be great nights there, because there'd be a lot of other leads and things, you know. Figure dancers, maybe from Manor Hampton particularly, and set dancers from Barnacool and places. And there'd be a bigger Leitrim contingent than any place else.
Right.
And there was one room we used to kind of take over.
I think they called it the Leitrim room.
That's right.
But every area, every club, you know, had somebody like yourself and Breed, you know, to promote school, because it needs somebody like that.
Remember
the Barnacool set dancers, of course, Conor McGill, Gia Throwpair, he was great in organising that, and the Mulligans and Declan Bohan and so on.
That's right, yeah.
And then St Mary's, the Crossans are doing it now.
That's right, Laura Crossan now is the person. It depends on a person like that. The Noble Space Shockers, the Rinkia was Moshinja, that's what really keeps it going.
That's
it,
right.
And look, the thing is with youngsters, you get them to do these things if you have somebody to organise it. It really depends on. Somebody said.
Yeah, they don't like a long-term commitment, but they don't mind doing something.
That's right.
A couple of weeks, and that's it. Depending on how they do, if they succeed, they have to go on further and so on.
That's all.
Mentioned hurling. Ballymore had fairly good success with hurling, you know, and yourself and John Hart and Paddy O'Connor did marvellous work. What do you think of the Leitrim hurling at Marston Conway and the boys? They've been very close.
The county have been very successful. Amazingly successful. I'm very worried about the club thing though, because there hasn't been club hurling on the range for about 6 years now. There hasn't been Carrick play in Roscommon.
Right.
They're very well organised and do well in Roscommon. Manor Hamilton play, I think, in Sligo. But there hasn't been, say, a County Leitrim under 14, under 16 minor championship for, I think, maybe 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
Not just Leitrim, but between two Leitrim teams. The senior level, yes. But county team doing very well now. Exceptionally well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's great effort put into
there it. There is indeed. Yeah. I remember Michael Dourigan, Mickey Dourigan from Gartlett was in. There was a bit of an argument going on about the footballers being treated better than the hurlers. And he said, mark my words, he said, Leitrim will win in All Ireland in hurling before they win one in football. It hasn't come to pass yet.
As you say, between ourselves and Kerry, we've won 37 All Irelands between us.
And we didn't lose any.
We didn't lose any. No. Kerry did, that's right.
Yeah, you're a well known writer as well, Sean. You had a marvellous book there, Under the Thatch. How did it go for you?
It went well. It sold out twice, like it sold out first and then reprinted and sold out again. But it went very well, you know. It's about the 50s and 60s in Longford. And the 50s and 60s in Longford were the same as in Leeds.
Of course it was the same as in Leeds.
But
you described it very well, and you hadn't left anything out. It
was
the rural electrification, you know, and indoor toilets and Cadian and houses and everything was covered.
Right. Well, the conditions at the time, you see, were extraordinary. I'm thinking of it now, when you mentioned there, no running water, no toilets.
Right.
I mean, very few. There was 35 houses in our town land. One of them was the parish priest, and they had a toilet. And there was one other house in the parish of them 35 had a toilet and running water in my time. So 33 of the 35, say, up to 1960, none of them had a toilet of any sort.
So it's hard to imagine that the young people now would think that was crazy.
No, but you had to watch your step when you went into a read.
And then you mentioned in the book also about, you know, the American parsons coming, but also about the visitors coming back from America.
Yeah.
You know, and after they leave me away for 20 years or 30 years and coming back to the house that they left.
That's right. It was a fierce big thing. The only thing, a lot of them that went to America in the 20s never came back to the 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
The St. Parsons. Mostly of clothes you couldn't be seen with, because they were all flouncy colours and they weren't bad fits. And
it was good for the fancy dress parade.
Well, the Americans were always bigger than the Irish ones, you see. Now, you could get them adjusted. The women usually got them adjusted for weren't all right. But when they came home, you see, they hadn't been home for so long, and they nearly couldn't understand how Ireland was so backward as they thought. And the people were almost uncomfortable, you know, the brothers and sisters, because they weren't as well dressed. And then they had picked up bits of American accents, some of them now, some of them were you wouldn't think they'd ever left today.
Right.
But you know, they talked about candy and the gasoline for the car, you know, and these things that you wondered where they got them.
Right.
But it was a big thing when the Yanks would come, and there'd be dances and hoolies, you see.
Yeah, the American wait then when somebody was going for the first time.
That's right. Oh, that was
the COVID has played hell with the tourism business now, you know, but I'm sure one of the biggest markets for Ireland would be the States and England, I suppose.
It would. Oh God, it would. Always would be, you see.
Yeah.
The ones coming back, I suppose, they're a shocking loss at the minute.
Well, yeah.
Loss, but the ones coming that time were people generally, see, if you're in America from Ireland now, other than the COVID, you'd be coming home, you know, regular.
Yeah, maybe a few times a year.
Except you hadn't your recharge or something.
Yeah.
But at that time, there were more, in the 50s and 60s, they were mostly coming back after 30 or 40 years, never been home. Never, because of the recession in America in the 30s and the war and all the travel. So, and they were meeting brothers and sisters. Very often the fathers and mothers had died in the meantime, which was sad, you know. I mean, when you're thinking about they would have got a letter saying, your father died and was buried a week ago because of the post and that sort of thing.
Well, that's true.
You know,
it's different now, of course, when something happens in Leitrim, it's around the world in about 3 minutes.
Wasn't. It took them a long. So there were exciting affairs when they came at that time.
Well, in contrast to that, or the opposite of that, of course, was we say the Leitrim team went out to play in Gaelic Park, you know, and the Connacht Championship, and the other counties from Connacht as well. And that reunited a lot of people as well, you know.
And Jesus, I mean, they're great occasions.
They are, actually.
Whether it's London, I know we usually win them, but even if we didn't, they're great occasions, both the New York ones and the London ones, and because you meet the crowd of ones over there, there'll be a big crowd, and a tremendous atmosphere, a great sense of being in New York. All these people passing by that don't know what's happening, or don't know why you're there, but there's a great, same thing in London, but they're great occasions. I don't know what will be the arrangement now, because we'd be due to go to London next year,
in
2022, and New York the following year. So I don't know whether it's going to continue or whether the counties that missed it
will get a chance. Yeah.
I don't know, but I'd be looking forward now to say London would be next year.
Of course. I remember telling me you went locating or trying to locate a friend of yours who had emigrated to London years and years ago, and you searched, you spent the weekend looking for him, but you finally found him. Could you just tell us about that?
Well, when I was growing up, the nearest lad to me of my own age was this, what we used to call a homeboy. He was raised by a brother and sister. And the two of us grew up together, went everywhere together. School, he was a year older than me, so he brought me to school. But when he came to 16, he ran away. And for years, for about, I think, over 30 years, no trace of him. But it actually was in 1997. Now, I'd done groundwork on it before that, but in 1997, I went over for the London match. I found him in London. More or less nearly down and out. But so met him anyway, and then every 5 years I'd be back and I met him. But the last time I met him was the last time we were in London. And 2 years ago then, discovered he died.
Oh, yeah. Which was an amazing success, you know, because you've run it over very quickly there. But I know that you went from pub to pub and street to street.
Oh, that's right.
Asking questions and that.
That's right.
You should have been a detective. You found your man.
Well, he's kind of like a brother. He was a brother to me because I didn't have a sister who were younger than me. I had a brother who was 8 years younger than me. So he was kind of a brother to me, and I missed him terribly.
But it was a very charitable thing to do. But then it's not surprising knowing you that you'd be doing that.
But then we brought his ashes, when he died 2 years ago, we got his ashes back and buried them. I discovered then who his mother was, and she was buried near Ballymahan, and we buried the ashes.
Well, that's another feather in your cap, Sean. That was something seriously good to do.
That's just of interest to
Well, you're busy at the moment, and I appreciate you coming in, because you're now writing the Republican story of Longford. Your son Cormac did a marvellous job on the Republican story of Leitrim. So how's the going for you? You're well on.
I'm well on, Tommy. Now I'm at it. I'm a coy playing the Yubber. I'm nearly 5 years at it. And it's with the printer, well, with the design and layout now. And it's actually, this weekend they'll have the layout done, you know. But I still have to do the index and the printing. But plan is to publish it in September.
And you have a lot of photographs in it.
Oh, there's about 500 photographs.
Oh, God,
it's the same cut as the Leitrim one, didn't it?
Right, it'll be much like Cork.
It'll be much like it, about nearly 600 pages.
Of yeah, it's an amazing amount of books and, you know, periodicals and so on that are published in Leitrim every year. You know,
oh, say, I'm sure, I mean, you're involved with so many of them, from Leitrim yearbooks and...
Ah, yeah, we used to do Leitrim yearbooks,
you know. Very, very great ones.
Well, years ago we did a diocesan magazine called The Torch.
The Torch, that's right.
So it's trying to promote temperance.
That's right.
Well, I don't know about the temperance, but The Torch went out of existence.
Yes.
I think the temperance went out of existence as well. The people kept drinking away anyway, yeah. You know. That was the diocesan one, and you know, it went well. And then we did the Leitrim
yearbooks.
Yeah. And the Leitrim history books, then, you know. You did the first one, but you'd be older than me, so you did the better memory of the older times.
Yeah, you did the follow on one, that's right. Yes. And the conduct is
the conduct,
yeah,
well. Yeah, yeah.
Very good job that one that you did, yeah.
Well, your wife Bridge is a great community worker as well, and she's a very straight talker. How do you get on at home? Is it all right?
Well, you can obviously keep your social distance, you see.
That 2 metre rule will probably
that's
a good
right,
one.
That's right.
She wouldn't hit you with the frying pan.
She'd be into the golf. And
she's a brilliant golfer, really is a very good one.
Yeah. That, you know, over the years, yeah, tidy towns and that sort of thing. And
in Cormac, now Cormac is living near Athlone, of course. So.
Okay, he's living near Athlone. He's living near Athlone.
But he kept playing with Ballinamore all the time.
Well, he finally was fit to play, he did.
Yeah. And Rory, your other son, and his children are very much involved in Ballinamore as well. Rory does great work in the club, of course, you know, as you all have done. So I don't think there's a family in Ballinamore that would have contributed so much to the whole aspect of, and indeed outside Ballinamore to the county as well. So good wishes to Breach and to Rory and Cormac and to your grandchildren, of course. And I notice when I meet you that you're educating them Tregeag as well. You're little bits of Gaelic now and again without making it too, you know.
Had a piece of Gaelic, didn't he, and shared straight. Yeah, it was, but there's been a time and space to read in your heart. I mean, the class has just proved pretty, there's great interest in it. And I'm looking forward to after Christmas now, getting people together again and getting the crowd in the library. Hopefully by that stage it'll be open and available for it, you know. Great interest in it.
Well, Sean, we could talk to you forever, but I'd be talking to you about no more often. But it's lovely to have you here at Leitrim Daily, and you have a great variety of topics to talk about. And just want to thank you for all the work that you've done, and wish you every success with the Longford book. Of course, there seem to be a lot of Leitrim people mentioned in the Longford book as well, because back in the troubled times, as I said, in the 20s and so on, 21, lots of Leitrim people were involved from Longford, and Longford men.
Yeah.
Of course, one of the men from Longford was
Sean Conley was in
at Selton Hill. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a very close relationship. Indeed, the same thing happens in football. We'd be very competitive at Longford, but over the years, you know, there's always a very friendly atmosphere between Leitrim and Longford.
Yeah. Oh, there is, yeah, because even in the 30s, there was a very big incident, the shooting of Moore of Ireland, and there was three Leitrim people, including the famous Nipper Shanley.
That's right,
yeah.
You'd be surprised to hear that Nipper was carrying a gun at once.
He was, got football on a gun.
All right, Sean, Mila Babbitt.
Of Hotcherot.
Sean O'Malley.
Tom White, of Hotcherot.
Mila Boyk is a reach to Sean O'Sullivan and Spelen Ahamore. That concludes the Leitrim Daily for today. However, we'll be back next week, and another guest who has contributed so much to Leitrim and to Drumshambo. That's the former Leitrim Person of the Year, Leitrim Garrison Person of the Year, Noel McPartland. So we look forward to chatting Noel, a man who has a varied career in so many aspects.